this morning I wanted to give a report of kind of what we did and share the slideshows that we had and also some part of the message that we taught. The whole week was based on Psalm 139. So I'll be going through the psalm this morning as we share each different night. But Psalm 139, it's a great psalm. It's one of David's psalms. And you know David, if you've read a lot of his psalms, he was never just mediocre. You know, if he was down, he wrote it. I mean, he expressed it to the full. And if he was up and excited about what was going on, he didn't hold back. He just put all his emotions and all his heart into what he was writing in his psalms. And obviously, there were songs. They were meant to be put to music and sung by a choir. I don't know what the music sounded like. But this was one of those really exuberant, thrilled songs about God. He just was thinking about what God had done for us. And so the different nights of the week weave in and out of the psalm. They don't follow it in order. But we'll start off with the first slideshow, and then I'll get started in Psalm 139. So this is night number one.
In the beginning, there was, well, nothing. But God said,
"Let there be light."
And there was light and dark.
And that was day one.
Then God separated the water on the ground from the waters in the sky.
That was day two.
This creation stuff kept getting better and better, because next, God spoke and made plants. He made radishes and roses, vines and jungles.
And that was day three.
God was just getting warmed up. He spoke and created the moon and stars. And a fiery sun to shine during the day.
And that was only the fourth day.
Some of the coolest stuff was still to come, because next, when God spoke, he filled the ocean with fish. And sharks. And he filled the sky with crazy flying things.
And there you have it, day five.
Next, God got even more creative. He spoke and created all kinds of animals, including pandas. God designed bugs and bats, donkeys and dogs, elephants and emus. But the best was yet to come, because finally, God made people.
And all of that was day six.
After all that creating, God rested on day seven.
When God made things, he said, "It is good." But when God made people, and that means you, he said, "It is very good."
Thank you, God!
So that was day one, and the scripture that went with it comes out of verse 13 through 16. It says, "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body, and you knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex." In the King James, it says, "I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was even born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was ordained before a single day had passed." One of the things that I really enjoyed about this year's VBS, it was that it kicked off from the beginning. It went all the way to Genesis when God first created, and the kids learned that God created everything. We started with that, and they learned that God created them, which is a big deal, because if you think about what society teaches, it's so good for them to come and hear that God created them on purpose and with special care and attention, God did it. And they were told that their life is important, that they have meaning, that they have purpose. They aren't just an accident. They aren't just some random chance being that happened from a hiccup in the timeline, that God made them on purpose. And God created us as people with specific intentions and with special attention to detail in his creation of us. In fact, our science still hasn't completely figured out the human body. There's so many things that doctors look at us and say, I don't know. I don't know how it works. I don't know why it works. And we'll try this out to see if it, you know, if it makes you better, sort of thing. And so we are so fearfully and wonderfully complex the way that God made us. And it's so good for the kids to learn that instead of just being a mistake, that God handmade us, to think about the fact that everything else he just said, let there be. You know, plants and animals and the stars and the sky and the water, he just said, let it be. And then when it came to people, he got down on his hands and knees and did it with his hands. It says he took the dust of the ground and he formed Adam. And then he breathed life into Adam's nostrils. And then he took a part of Adam and he made Eve. We were custom made by God. And later in the psalm that David wrote, he basically says that the way God made us is too marvelous for words. It's so incredible. I can't express it. It just amazes me. And I can't say how wonderfully that it is that the way God made us. And he looks at his own self in wonder of how we are created and how we are made so amazingly by God. And Adam didn't have all the science that we have today. Adam didn't understand molecular biology and cellular structure and things like that. He just saw what you could see without a microscope, and he was amazed by it. And that's amazing to look at us and to see how we grow and how we are able to be wounded and heal and the things that the human body does. And you would think that the deeper you get with a microscope, the more you understand about just how amazing biology is and the human body works, ought to amaze us even more. And so he talks about how God knows how we work. God knows why we work. God knows everything about us because he made us, and he has big plans for our futures. And he put all this care and attention into us so that we could do something special for God. And I think that's such a great thing, because there are too many children these days, too many people in general who have grown up being taught that they are just a mistake, that they have no true purpose in life, that they're just a step in a link in a chain. They're just an evolutionary blip on a million-year timeline that really doesn't matter in the scheme of things. They're told that they're nothing more than animals, that you know, they're not much different than what they can see in the zoo. So why should they expect to excel? Why should they expect to do anything? Why should they expect to try and to work hard? That, you know, if they're not going to amount to anything, they're not even able to control themselves, because they're just a bunch of animals and you don't really matter. So why should you care about life or trying to be good people or you know, grow up and teach anything or learn anything or serve anyone but yourselves if you're just a mistake, if you're just an animal? So I'm really glad that VBS started off the way it did, saying that there's a purpose for you being here. You were created on purpose, and there's reason for you to be around, and to start off with the truth of where we come from and why we're here, so that then you can have some real hope for why you should go anywhere from here, why you should learn and why you should care about who you are and what you can do and where you can go in life. And so it was so good to encourage the kids that you were made on purpose, with purpose, so that you can take on life with passion and that you can grow into who you were meant to be and who God wants you to be and come to know the love of the God who created you with that special intention. So that was just where we started. And that's day one. Day two is about God listens to you. So we'll play day two's video.
The Bible tells us about a prophet named Elijah. Elijah believed in God, in a land where no one else really did. The people in the land followed a fake god called Baal. It was Elijah against everyone. One day, God told Elijah to challenge the followers of Baal to a showdown. God versus Baal. Elijah said,
"We'll both build altars. You build one to Baal, and I'll build one to God. Then we'll pray. Whoever sends fire down from heaven will prove to be the one real, true God."
The prophets of Baal went first. They built an altar. Then they prayed and danced and shouted. And then they waited and waited and waited. But nothing happened. No Baal, no fire, not even a spark. Then it was Elijah's turn. He built an altar, and then he dug a big trench around it. Then Elijah told people to pour water on the altar. Once, twice, three times.
Again?
Wow! I don't know about you, but I can't figure out how that wood is going to burn. It's totally wet! Then Elijah prayed a few simple words.
Oh Lord, answer me. Answer me so these people will know that you, oh Lord, are God, and that you have brought them back to yourself.
God listened to Elijah's prayer. God's fire flashed down from heaven. The fire burned up everything, the altar, the wood, the water, even the stones. God listened to Elijah. And God listens to you too. Thank you, God.
So that's another good thing to know, that God listens to us. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. That's verse 4. It might be interesting to remember that this is a song that David wrote to be sung by a choir. And I don't know what, you know, how it would sound like. I'm sure it was fun to listen to, but it's such an inspiring song and an uplifting song. And to sing this song to the Lord, because we know that he listens to us and that he hears us. And it starts out, this is the very beginning of the psalm. At verse 1, it says, "O Lord, you have examined my heart, and you know everything about me. You know when I sit down, when I stand up. You know my thoughts, even when I am far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I am going to say, even before I say it, Lord." So on day one, the children learned about how God made them, and then on day two, they got to learn how the God who created them, who specially created them, still wants them to be. He still wants to be involved in their lives. He didn't just create them and then walk away and, you know, like you're some wind-up toy robot that he got ready and set off and then just let go until the spring runs down and you're dead. He wants to be involved in our lives every single day. It doesn't matter where we're at. It doesn't matter what we're doing. God is watching us, and he hears our thoughts, and he hears our prayers when we reach out to him. He is more concerned about us. This is an amazing thing to think about. He is more concerned about us than our parents ever could be. I mean, John talked about parents entrusting their kids to us, which is a big deal. Think about how much those of you who are parents care about your kids, how much you would do for your kids, how much you would do to protect your kids. God cares about those kids more than we ever could. And that's an amazing thing to think about. Can you imagine anybody with the ability to know all your thoughts? Somebody who could hear everything that you were thinking and know everything that you were thinking and still staying interested in your life for more than a few days. I mean, I have some pretty interesting thoughts from time to time, and sometimes there's even some deep thoughts and considering about the world and creative ideas once in a while. But most of the time I think about, you know, what I'm working on from at that moment or what I need to do later on. Most of my thoughts during the day probably wouldn't be all that compelling to listen to. So to think about God being interested every moment of every day in what's going on in my head, always being attentive, always listening, and always caring about what's going on in my life. And when it does come to those things that are important, he cares about what's on our hearts. He cares about what's on our minds. I've had people before who ask me how they should pray, what they should pray about. And I always tell them, pray about what's on your heart. What are you thinking about? What's important to your life? Tell God, because it matters to him. And so I'd say it's definitely worth singing about. You know, this song that David wrote, it's worth singing about that our Creator, who made us, knows us so intimately and cares about every aspect of our lives and what's going on in our hearts and our minds. And that's such a good thing to celebrate and to sing about. So that was the good lesson from day two. And now we'll do day three.
In the Bible, you can read about a guy named Jonah. Jonah was a prophet. That means he told people messages from God. But sometimes Jonah didn't want to do what God told him. You see, God had noticed that people in the city of Nineveh were doing bad things. They weren't obeying God at all. But God was still watching over the people of Nineveh. God still loved them. God told Jonah, go to Nineveh and tell the people there to stop doing all that bad stuff. But Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. He didn't like the people there. He was even kind of afraid of them. So Jonah got on the first ship heading away from Nineveh. Jonah got on the ship, curled up below deck, and fell asleep. But God was still watching Jonah. God sent a big storm. The rain blew and the waves crashed. The sailors were scared. They thought the boat was going to sink. So the sailors woke Jonah up and begged him to pray to his God. I was running away from God, Jonah said. Toss me overboard and the storm will stop. So the sailors threw Jonah overboard. And the storm stopped. Jonah sank down and down into the water. Jonah thought he was going to drown. But God sent a huge fish to swallow Jonah whole. Inside the fish, Jonah thanked God for saving his life. He asked God to give him a second chance to go to Nineveh. After 3 days, the fish spit Jonah out on the beach. Jonah went straight to Nineveh. And you know what? The people in Nineveh listened to Jonah. They stopped their bad ways. God watched over Jonah and the people of Nineveh. God watches over you, too. Thank you, God.
So that was day three, that God watches over us. Verse 12 in that chapter says, even the darkness is not dark to you, and the night is as bright as day. Darkness and light are alike to you. And they talked about the panda, which was our theme animal, the panda, because he's black and white, and so they said that could remind him that God watches us in darkness and in light. But let me start at verse 7. It's Psalm 139, verse 7 says, I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you're there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me. And your strength will support me. I could ask that the darkness hide me and the light around me to become night. But even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as the day. Darkness and light are the same to you. And I was thinking about that as we were going over it the last week. And I think, you know, sometimes we take for granted that God is omnipresent. We just, you know, you don't even think about it. You just understand. When I feel like praying, I just start praying. Doesn't matter where I am or what I'm doing. If I need to pray, I just pray. And I don't have to go, you know, I don't have to come to church so I can pray. I can do it at home or wherever. And I know that God will hear me. And how often do we thank God for that privilege and ability? How often do we wherever we go, that he's right there with us. How often do we thank God that he's watching over us every step of the way, that he's always there when we need him and available to help us when we're in need? I suppose there are some people who would prefer that God wasn't everywhere, that God couldn't follow him. I don't. It's interesting how Jonah tried to escape God. I don't know if he actually thought he could get on a boat and get away from God. I don't know what was going through his thought processes. He was, how upset he was. He probably wasn't thinking straight. But it reminded me sometimes when Adelaide is crawling and I tell her I'm going to come get her, and she'll start to crawl faster and she'll giggle, like as if she has any chance of out crawling my walk with my big long legs. There's just no way, but she tries, and I think it's lots of fun when she tries. And I think about that and about Jonah trying to escape from God, and it's good to know that there isn't anywhere that I could go to get away from God. It's good to know that I can't escape God, even if I wanted to. Not the ocean floor, not outer space, the mountains, the valleys, the caves, there are no hiding places from God. And I'm glad that was true earlier in my life when I really didn't want God's involvement. And I'm especially glad that it's true now that I belong to him, that, and I want him involved in my everyday life. Because before, a lot of people, they don't want God. But God is nothing but good for people who accept him. So it's good that he's always there, so that when we turn to him, we can find that salvation and find that new life. And then it's good that he's always there once we have the new life, so that as we grow and as we need to grow in our relationship with him, he's always available and always there to hear our prayers. So I would just, as an encouragement to all of us, don't take that for granted. Think about that every once in a while and consider that God is everywhere you go, and he's always available when you need him. And even when you'd like to get away from him, he's still coming after you. So you might as well turn around and do what you're supposed to do in the first place, like Jonah. So that's day three. Now we'll do day four.
Remember Peter, Jesus' friend? He's that guy who knocked on the door today. Peter was really sad. Peter said he had traveled with Jesus and watched Jesus teach people about God's love. Peter told us how he had seen Jesus do amazing things, miracles like healing people and raising the dead. Lots of people loved Jesus. But some people didn't like Jesus. They wanted to get rid of him. One night, Jesus said that Peter would tell people he didn't even know Jesus. Peter said, "No way!" Jesus said that Peter would deny him, not just once, not just twice, but three times before the rooster crowed in the morning. Soldiers arrested Jesus and took him away. Peter ran away, but then followed behind Jesus to see what would happen. That night, three different people accused Peter of knowing Jesus, and three times, Peter said he didn't know Jesus. Then the rooster crowed. It happened just like Jesus said it would. The people hurt Jesus and nailed him to a cross to die. For 3 hours that afternoon, darkness blotted out the sun. Then Jesus died. His friends put Jesus' body in a stone tomb. They were so sad. But Jesus didn't stay dead. 3 days later, he came back to life. Now Jesus' friends, including Peter, were so amazed and happy. We all sin and do bad things. The Bible says that Jesus died to take the punishment for the bad things we all do. When we believe in Jesus and tell him we're sorry, he'll forgive our sins. When we're friends with Jesus, he'll lead us along the path to everlasting life. Because of Jesus, God loves us no matter what. Thank you, God.
So they said, God loves you. And they asked the question in one of the video segments about, they said, don't you wish Pandamania would last forever? And I'm sure the leaders were glad it was over on Friday, but the kids love it. I mean, they get to play the games, and they get to eat the snacks and do the crafts and learn the lessons. They get to have this great, enjoyable experience in the week. And they said, don't you wish that this would last forever? And then they said the question right after that, it wasn't a question, but they said, when you follow Jesus, your life with him can last forever. And it is an enjoyable experience, and it is something that you can celebrate. John asked me if I thought that we could do VBS every week. You know, not that we do the whole week, but if we could do something like that, one night a week, you know, have a multi-interactive sort of activity night where the kids would come and learn a Bible lesson, play a game, and have a snack or something like that. And because the kids sure enjoy, you know, they enjoy the music and the activities and the Bible lessons, and I would guess that it's a real blessing to them. I mean, they probably don't think about blessings, but but for them to learn about how much God loves them and how much God, you know, that God created them and he wants to be involved in their life and he listens to them, I would think that's a good thing for them to know, even as kids. Because there's, you know, little kids, they probably don't have horrible dark pasts and terrible things like Peter when he denied Jesus three times. He was feeling pretty terrible about it. And I'm sure the kids, you know, they probably get those emotions, but they're over much smaller things and much smaller ideas. But if you can get them started on a path with walking with Jesus so that they don't have to do those terrible things like Peter did when they grew up, that they can have that continual joyful experience with the God as they grow up and walking in his love and walking and doing the right things and accepting him as a child and growing up with him, to have that kind of a life that goes on forever is such a good thing. And so, of course, it would certainly take, you know, if we were to do something like that every week, you know, it would take commitment from a lot of people. It would take some work and coordination. But what if we could do a Bible school every week? You know, what if we could pull off something like that with activities and fun music and the good Bible lessons that we could teach the kids to keep walking in the Lord, keep growing in the Lord, to keep serving him and doing the right things? It might not be as big as VBS where we have a whole mess of kids, but what if we, you know, would it be worth our effort to reach out to just 20 kids or just 10 or even 5 kids? If all we had was a handful of children, would it be worth the effort of us as a church to get together and coordinate something that we could do once a week? To think about, you know, to tell them, God cares about you so much, and we want to be an expression of that. In verse 17 of the psalm, it says, how precious are your thoughts about me, O God? They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand, and when I wake up, you are still with me. Who wouldn't want to be involved with God, knowing that he thinks about us all the time? Knowing that it's overwhelming to try to even imagine anybody having as many thoughts as David talks about, that thoughts about anything that outnumber the grains of sand in the world. I mean, to think that somebody could think like that, and it's even more impressive to know that all of those thoughts are precious thoughts about me, that the countless precious thoughts about me. And then on top of that, God has another uncountable batch of precious thoughts about you, and another huge number of uncountable thoughts about somebody else, and each of those kids. For those kids, I enjoy VBS. I think it's a good time, even though I get typecast as the goofball for all the skits every year. It seems to happen for some reason. But I enjoy it, and I love having the kids around and interacting with them and encouraging them. But this week, the whole experience that they had is barely a taste of what God feels for us. I mean, I hope that they got that taste. I hope they came to this church and they got to enjoy all this time together and learn about God, and they got a really good taste of what it's like to have God in their lives. But wouldn't it be great if we could do something like this on a somewhat of a regular basis, where the children could keep coming and keep tasting and seeing that the Lord is good, and that he's good to walk with, and he's good to love, and he's good to have a relationship with? We definitely don't want people going the other direction. It's interesting that this same psalm, in the next verse, well, in verse 19, it says, "Oh God, if you would destroy the wicked, get out, if only you would destroy the wicked. Get out of my life, you murderers. They blaspheme you. Your enemies misuse your name. Oh Lord, shouldn't I hate those who hate you? Shouldn't I despise those who oppose you? Yes, I hate them with a total hatred, for your enemies are my enemies." We talk about how much God loves us, and that's a great thing. It's a good thing to teach the kids, but sadly, there are people who want nothing to do with God's love. People who have grown up and decided, you know, I don't want it, I don't want to be it. They have turned their backs on the Lord. And it's so good to know that God's love is so big that Christ would die for any of us while we were still sinners. You know, to think where we came from, that Christ would have died for us in our horrible, rotten state. And to know, on top of that, that it's even, you know, it may be even better to know that God doesn't just look at us with empty affection. He doesn't just look and say, oh, how cute, look at those people, they're so nice. Instead, his love, he grabs us from that position, and he disciplines us, and he corrects us, and he sets us straight, and he puts us in the right position so that we can walk on the rock of our salvation, so that we can live the way that God has called us to, the way that he created us to live. You know, we told the kids that God created them. Isn't it good to know that God will be with us to teach us and hone us and make us into the kind of person that he wants us to be, so that he, you know, he doesn't just, you know, look at us in our sinful, nasty state and say, oh, I love these people, I wish they'd stop sinning, but I love them anyway. He says, I love you enough to pull you out of that and to make you into the man or the woman that you are called to be. And that's what real love does. That's what, you know, any parent that sees their kids screwing up, any good parent teaches them how to do it right, teaches them to be the person that they're called to be. And that's what real love does. It teaches, and it helps to encourage, and it helps us to grow, and it helps us to become better people. And that's the kind of love that I would like as a church for us to keep teaching other people, to keep teaching the children of our neighborhood, that you know, that it's simple necessity that we reach out to those people and teach them that God loves us, he protects us, he watches over us, he takes care of us, he provides for us, and all those people who accept him, he protects from the people who refuse to accept him. Obviously, it's he cuts off the people that refuse him, who reject him. He removes those people out of his love. He has to remove those people because he loves the ones who are willing to hear him and willing to turn. And in order to love those, he has to protect them. So he has to cut off all the people who reject him so he can protect his faithful children. And it's good to know that God loves us that much and that God does care about us, and he'll protect us and teach us and help us to grow into the people. So it's a good prayer for all of us to pray. In verse 22, it says, this is our scripture for this morning. It says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the paths of everlasting life." So he's asking, God, look in me. If there's anything that I'm doing wrong, if there's anything that doesn't please you, if there's anything that's causing any harm, teach me how to do it right. Teach me to be the right kind of man. Teach me to be the man that you want me to be. It makes things really simple when you think of God as a good parent, as your father in heaven. Parents don't hate their kids just because they did something stupid, just because you started off in a bad place, but a good parent corrects their children. In their love, they help their kids to grow out of it. They teach them how to be good people. They discipline them. And so God, as our father in heaven, does the same thing, and he's even better at it because he doesn't just correct behavior. He knows what's in our hearts. Only he can know what's in our hearts and minds and listen to us and hear us and know what we're going to say before we say it and know the thoughts that we process. And so he doesn't just correct behavior after it's done. He transforms our whole lives through the renewing of our minds, so that instead of doing something wrong and getting corrected, now he starts correcting us even before we do it, so that we can start doing the right things from the beginning. So that's day four, and this is our last day. Day five.
It's my He's God. He's great. God is wild about us. He's great. He is awesome. He's wild. He's great. God is wild about us. He's great. He is awesome. He's wild. He's wild.
So there's one more video that maybe we'll play after we're all done. But this one, the day five, we taught them that God gives good gifts. And the scripture, so it was verse 5. It says, "O Lord, you have examined my heart and you know everything about me. You know when I sit down or when I stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and you follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful, too great for me to understand." So the love of God for us is overwhelming. And that's the message we tried to get to the kids, that it's just amazing. His blessings are amazing. He knows us, and he wants us to know him. And I don't know if you've ever noticed that the best relationships in all of our lives are the ones where people know us the best, the honest relationships, where you know, when you can connect with somebody that you can just be completely open with and bare your soul and share whatever's on your heart, those are the people that we tend to have the closest relationships with. And with God, it goes beyond that, beyond any human relationship, because he knows us better than any human can know us. He knows us, you know, in the depths of our heart. He knows exactly what we're thinking, exactly what we're feeling, even before we can say it. He knows it, and he knows what we're feeling, even if we can't describe it. And I don't know about you, but I think that's such a good thing in my relationship with God. I'm so glad he knows it, because sometimes I just can't even put into words what I'm feeling. And I'm so glad that I'm so grateful that he completely understands me, not only for when I want to pray what's on my heart, but also for the times when I'm tempted or if I'm feeling lazy and not very motivated, that he can know and help me when I need the help, that he can give me the motivation that I need, that he can help me to do what's right in the face of temptation and catch that and take care of problems before they turn into problems. So it was a great week at VBS. It was and I hope that you'll pray for all the kids that came. I hope that they'll stay on your heart. I hope that you'll pray that they would choose to love God back and serve him, and because he cares so much about us. And I pray that you'll think of ways that maybe we can continue this kind of outreach. Maybe something we can do on a regular basis. Maybe something you can do as an individual. But ways that we can continue to teach the world that God really does care about us and wants to be involved in our lives.